ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यामनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश। हरे कृष्ण। वी वेलकम ऑल डिवोटीज एंड गेस्ट फॉर आवर एनुअल बलराम जयंती फेस्टिवल। टुडे इज द मोस्ट ऑस्पिशियस ओकेजन ऑफ द अपीयरेंस डे of Lord Balramji, and we have all gathered here today evening to glorify Lord Balram's transcendental pastimes and offer our hearts to the Lord. Of course, I am completely disqualified to speak here in front of so many exalted Vaishnavas. I seek all of your blessings and permission to speak so that I can glorify the Lord for the purification of my own sinful heart and for the pleasure of the Lord and all the Vaishnavas. Lord Balramji's appearance, which we are celebrating today, raises one question in the minds of many new people who are skeptics or even those who have spent some time, but they are wondering why these festivals are celebrated in Krishna consciousness, in ISKCON. The goal of these festivals is that we all actually want to enjoy. That is the nature of the soul. Anando mayobhyasat. It's not wrong to think that we are all enjoyers. But the difference is, we are not independent enjoyers. We are cooperative enjoyers. We give pleasure to Krishna, and in Krishna's enjoyment, we enjoy. However, due to association with matter since time immemorial, we have forgotten this cardinal truth. And therefore, very foolishly, we try to enjoy our own senses, and we suffer. So festivals like this, they provide us an opportunity to hear about the Lord and meditate on this point that how Lord is the enjoyer and we have to serve Him. We have to give pleasure to His transcendental senses. For this constant meditation, especially during festivals, it's obvious. The whole festival from morning to night we are seeing, for example today, Krishna, Balram, Radha Gopina, they are the enjoyers. We have the kitchen team, devotees working since last so many days, trying to prepare this huge feast for today evening. We have devotees preparing bhogas for the Lord, the DT kitchen. We have devotees making beautiful julan. They have been working so hard. So many activities are going on, all with the only one intention, to glorify the Lord. So like this, when we come together and have festivals, our dormant consciousness and our memory of our position as the cooperative enjoyer, as our enjoyment being dependent on our giving pleasure to Krishna, that gets strengthened. Therefore, we have gathered here today evening also to glorify Lord Balram. We will discuss, hopefully, three topics today with the time and other constraints. Position, pastimes and prayers. Easy to remember. Three P's. Position or identity of Lord Balram, which was beautifully illuminated by Gaurang Prabhu today morning. It was an awesome class. And we all learnt amazingly how Balram, what is his identity. But we will nevertheless again briefly touch upon this subject. Once we understand the position of Lord Balram, then it becomes easy for us to appreciate the pastimes of the Lord. So then we'll discuss the pastimes of the Lord and some lessons maybe that we can learn from the Lord's pastimes. And then once we understand the Lord, the Lord's pastime, then it becomes easier to offer prayers. So what should be our prayers? How should we pray? That we will discuss. So first, the position of Lord Balaram, or the identity. Who is Lord Balaram? Lord Krishna, he has this transcendental form. What is it called? Sat Chit Ananda, eternal, full of consciousness, blissful. This form of Krishna is called as Swayam Rupa, means actually Krishna, Krishna's form, Swayam Rupa form. Now, Swayam Rupa, Krishna expands during different pastimes. Like during Gopi's Ras Leela, Krishna was dancing with each Gopi. That is Krishna, same Krishna. Expansion of Swayam Rupa. Swayam Prakash. And then, same Krishna expands also as Vaibhav Prakash, which means Krishna with a slight difference. And that is Balaram. Same Krishna, but little difference. The only difference between Krishna and Balaram is actually three differences given in the scriptures. One is Krishna is dark like the monsoon cloud, and Balaramji is fair like the autumn cloud. Secondly, mostly Krishna plays flute. Balaramji usually carries a buffalo horn. And the third difference is very important. This is the most important, and this is the theme of today's class also. Balaramji is completely possessed with the mentality of the Abhiman mentality, the feeling that I am servant of Krishna. Krishna doesn't have that. So this is the different three differences between Lord Balaram and Lord Krishna. And therefore, since Lord Balaram is always in this mood that I am the servant of Krishna, he is called as, although he is Krishna, he is called as the supreme personality of servitor Godhead. He is supreme Lord in the mood of this servant. So Balaramji, it is Balaramji who expands. From Balaramji comes the Chaturvyuha expansion, Narayan, then the second Chaturvyuha, and then the Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, all the incarnations come. And Lord Balaram, through Ananta Shesha expansion, holds up all the innumerable universes. All the universes, the whole cosmic manifestation is resting on the hoods of Ananta Shesha. But the Lord himself, as Ananta Shesha, he is not standing on anything. He is not having anything else to support. The universe, the cosmos has support of Lord Balaram. Therefore, why he doesn't have any support? Because he is the source of all strength. Like for example, if somebody really becomes strong, very strong, and he is actually able to lift, let's say he lifts his whole Vyasasana, somehow he manages. But he has to stand somewhere. Imagine he has no support, what will happen? He will go falling down along with what he is carrying. But Lord Anantashesh is carrying the whole cosmos. Everything is resting on Lord Anantashesh. But he doesn't have any support because he is the Supreme Lord. So what we call in the modern language as gravitational force. What is this gravitation? This is the energy of Lord Balaram. So he is the creative potency. Krishna is the creator. Krishna is Aham Bija Prada Pita. Krishna is Pita, father, and Balaramji is the womb. He is the potency who is sustaining this whole cosmic manifestation. And because Balaramji is the source of all strength, in our spiritual life also we need strength. And for us, the strength to practice our spiritual life comes from our spiritual master. And where does he get the strength from? From Lord Balaram. So therefore we say Balaram is the original spiritual master. So today morning we heard Gaurang Prabhu explain about Krishna's three transcendental potencies, Sandini, Samvit and Ladini potency. So Krishna's Samvit potency is the consciousness, the knowledge potency. So in the spiritual world, there are so many variegatedness, there is so much variety. And there are so many devotees rendering different services. So in the spiritual world, this knowledge, this expertise to please Krishna, who gives that? Who gives the knowledge? That potency comes from Lord Balaram. So Lord Balaram is actually is the provider of all information, all arrangements for the spiritual world to exist. Like some devotees may make sweets for Krishna. So how to make the sweets? How to offer the sweets? How to please Krishna? That knowledge comes from Lord Balaram. So we all are aspiring to do what in our devotional service? Our ultimate goal is to give pleasure to Krishna. Whether it is chanting, service, deity worship, everything we are doing to please Krishna. So that knowledge to please Krishna comes from Lord Balaram. And when this potency of the Lord, of Lord Balaram, when this potency expands, this knowledge about pleasing Krishna expands from the spiritual world to the material world and enters into the heart of a living entity. And when the living entity becomes a recipient of this potency of Lord Balaram, he is called as spiritual master or guru. Sakshad Haritvena Samasta Shastri. Why? Because he understands, he knows how to please Krishna. He is expert in pleasing Krishna. Tatrarbidaksha Gativalla Basya Vande Guru Shri Charanaravindam. So guru is the chosen one. He is the carrier of this potency of Lord Balaram. And therefore we say guru has perfect knowledge of pleasing Krishna. Therefore Balaram Jayanti also offers us an occasion, offers us an opportunity to offer our hearts and to express our rededication and take shelter of spiritual master. So this is the identity or position of Lord Balaram. Lord Balaram serves and pleases Krishna in all the five rasas. As Shantaras, he expands to become Krishna's helmet, Krishna's footwear, Krishna's bed. He offers all facilities for Krishna. And Shantaras, Dasiras, as servant, Lord Balaram is always serving Krishna. And as Sakyaras, Krishna is Balaram is the principal friend of Krishna in Sakyaras. Like in Madhuryaras, Radharani is the principal associate of Lord Krishna. So in Sakyaras, it's Lord Balaram. And Vatsalaras also, Lord Balaram exhibits with Krishna because he is the elder brother. So he advises, protects Krishna. And in Madhuryaras, Lord Balaram, he expands as Srimati Radharani's younger sister, Ananga Manjari. So like this, Lord Balaram serves Krishna in all the five rasas. Satyaraj Prabhu gives an interesting term for Lord Balaram. Actually, all these points that we are speaking today is from a series of lectures given. You can find all the lectures in desiretree.com. Is only Radhana Swami Maharaj, Chaitanya Charan Prabhu from Pune, and Gaurang Prabhu, and a few other devotees, Jagat Tarini Mataji, few devotees' lectures are there. So, in one lecture, very nice point about Lord Balaram is called as alter ego of Krishna. Alter ego means another ego. In the sense, what is the alter ego means basically another ego of the same person. Same person is same, but another ego. So Balaramji is Krishna, but different. Basically, to put it in simple words, Balaram and Krishna are same person, but different personality. Like, you know, in the material world, the perverted reflection is sometimes people have this, one person, but they have two personalities. Split personality, we call them. Like Dr. Jekyll and Hyde is, I think, the most famous. The same person, Dr. Jekyll, very compassionate, loving doctor. And Mr. Hyde was a ruthless killer. So, schizophrenia kind of. Same person, two personalities. So basically, Balram, so Krishna enjoys many rasas. So one of these rasa experiences is this, that different person, different personality rasa. Like Balramji senior is authoritative. So Krishna enjoys special rasa with him. So how Krishna enjoys? Basically, Krishna's own expansion acts in opposition of Krishna's desire and Krishna's plan. Many times, in many pastimes, as Balaram. To give more pleasure to Krishna. Krishna enjoys. So Balaram is Krishna, but he acts in a way it appears to be opposite of Krishna's desire. So like that, it is same Krishna but different personality. So like this, to serve Krishna in different incarnations, Lord Balaram comes as Lord Lakshman, Lord Balaram and as Nityananda Prabhu. So to summarize this point, what we discussed today about the position and identity of Lord Balaram, three points mainly. First is, he is always the servant of Krishna. He always aspires and is in the position of a servant of Krishna. Second point we discussed was, he is the original spiritual master. And thirdly, same person, but different personality. So this is the first topic. Now we'll discuss about Lord Balaram's pastimes. And maybe some lessons we can learn from a few pastimes. Today morning we heard about how the demigods prayed and then Kamsa was, there was a forecast, there was a prediction that Kamsa will be killed by the eighth son of Devaki. So he killed six sons. When Devaki was pregnant for the seventh time, Lord ordered Yogamaya to transfer the child in Devaki's womb to Rohini's womb, who was in Vrindavan. Now King Shurasena, he had two wives, Kshatriya wife and a Vaishya wife. From Kshatriya wife, he had Vasudev as his son. From his Vaishya wife, he had Nanda Maharaj. So both Nanda Maharaj and Vasudev were very close friends, brothers. So when Vasudev and Devaki were imprisoned, Vasudev sent his wife Rohini under the protection and care of Nanda Maharaj and his family. So Rohini was staying in Vrindavan. So from Devaki's womb, Lord Balaram, the seventh child, was transferred in the sixth month to Rohini's womb. And then 15 days later, Lord Krishna appeared. So when Balaramji appeared, he was inert and inactive, quiet, not making any sound, not laughing. And all the Brijavasis were puzzled and they were happy. Lord Balaram, extremely effulgent, wonderful child, but inert, inactive. And Mother Yashoda, she picked up the child and on her lap. And then Mother Yashoda held the baby Balaram close to her chest. So as soon as he did that, baby Balaram, he could feel Krishna in the heart of Mother Yashoda. Immediately, this child Balaram started laughing, jumping, playing. And everybody was astonished in Vrindavan. Then Mother Yashoda kept the child down and again Balaramji was quiet. Then again they would pick up the child, again Balaram would be active. Manadi Maharaj explains this in Sri Vrindavan Dham book. Beautiful pastime. So right from appearance, Lord Balaramji showed how he is completely attached to Krishna. And regarding questions that may come in the mind as to how in the 6 months, this is super high technology, the child being transferred from Devaki's womb to Rohini's womb and then 15 days later Krishna appears. So this is all transcendental to our mundane material logic. Actually, this is maybe the first lesson we can learn from Lord Balaramji's pastimes today, that we understand and appreciate Lord Balaram, Lord Krishna, not by logic and analysis, but by love, through developing spiritual emotions. If we use logic and analysis, we'll only get bewildered, especially when we're talking about Lord and Lord's pastimes. Especially Lord Balaram. There are so many examples of Lord Balaram's bewildering pastimes, isn't it? You can think of some bewildering pastimes of Lord Balaram. So many. He, see, Lord doesn't like those who are against his devotees. And the one who was against all the devotees, Pandavas, was Duryodhan. And who is his guru? Lord Balaram. In fact, there is one devotee in ISKCON. His name is Duryodhan Guru Das. Duryodhan Guru Das. So you can imagine, Duryodhan is anti-devotees, anti-Vaishnavas. So this is bewildering. So you can't use material logic for all this. And Balaramji loved him so much. Also, it is said that Lord protects Brahmanas. Lord has incarnated to protect Brahmanas. But Lord Balaram killed a Brahmana on the Vyasasan. Roma Arshan Sut was killed. And it is said Lord incarnates to protect the devotees. Paritranaya sadhunam, vinashaya cha duskritam. And then there was opportunity to do vinashaya duskritam. That was the best opportunity, was Kurukshetra war. Lord goes on a pilgrimage. He goes on Tirth Yatra. And Lord Balaram performing Raslila, like Krishna performing Raslila, is also kind of, for mundane logic, material logic, it's bewildering. And Lord Balaramji is short-tempered, sometimes we see in the past times. And on the wedding of Aniruddha, Krishna's grandson, he kills Rukmi. Rukmi's granddaughter is getting married, and he kills Rukmi on the day of wedding. So all these things are proving that we should not try to use material logic to understand Lord Balaram's pastimes. Actually, Jiva Goswami explains that absolute truth means, absolute truth must be, by definition, inconceivable. Otherwise, cannot be absolute truth. If we can conceive everything about the absolute truth with our intelligence, that means our intelligence is God. Or our intelligence is greater than God. How can that happen? Today morning, in a humorous way, Gaurang Prabhu showed about this pastime where Madhu Dusha Prabhu was saying that the only difference between Krishna and Balaram is Krishna is black, Balaram is white. And Yamuna Mataji said, only difference is Krishna is the enjoyer of Radharani and Balaram is not. So when they went to Prabhupada, Prabhupada said, both of you are right. Tambal Krishna Maharaj said, how can both of them be right? Both of them cannot be right. And Prabhupada said, yes, you are also right in saying that. And finally, so then Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, then how do you resolve this? Prabhupada said, you decide. So basically, Prabhupada was showing through this humorous pastime that we cannot use our brains to understand Krishna. So basically, we have to relish these pastimes. We have to enjoy these pastimes. Like for example, classic pastime, this marriage ceremony is going on of Aniruddha, and Rukmi challenges for a gambling match. So 10 gold coins. Balaramji is not a good player, no good chess player. So he loses. And as he is losing, there is King of Kalinga who is sitting, and he starts showing teeth and making fun and showing, you know, tenga, all these things he starts making. Balaramji is anyway angry, and he gets more angry because he is losing. So 10 gold coins he loses, then 100, then 1000 gold coins. Finally, Lord Balaram, he wages for 100,000 gold coins and he wins. But Rukmi says, no, I have won, I have won. And Kalinga king and others say, yes, yes, Rukmi has won. Balaramji is really angry. And Kalinga king continues to show his teeth and make fun. And then Rukmi passes expert comments. He says, Balaramji, you are actually expert in herding cows and playing in the forests of Vrindavan. But you are not a Kshatriya. You cannot do all these things. So then Balaramji gets very angry. Then they have 100 million gold coins they put as bet. And this time again Balaramji wins. And there is Akashvani also saying Balaramji has won. But Rukmi says, no, I have won. So then Balaramji gets really angry and he picks up his mace and just kills Rukmi on the spot. And then Maharaj, King of Kalinga, was constantly smiling and laughing. What does Balaram do? Breaks all his teeth with one blow. Maha dental surgery. All teeth gone. And then there are many other kings also supporting. What did Balaram? They saw this. They said, Abhi, you should run away. But Balaramji doesn't allow them to run away. He catches each one of them. Some kings he breaks their legs, some of them he breaks their hands. So what are devotees doing when they are hearing these pastimes? What are we doing? We are laughing. We are enjoying these pastimes. Devotees don't ask the question, why he broke the teeth? You know? No, why he broke this fellow's leg? And no, we don't ask like that. Because when there is love, when love is the main factor in any relationship, then logical, analytical questioning doesn't take place. You know, we are not supposed to be doing a lot of analysis. Like in movies, what they show is completely illogical. People don't ask questions, you know. The hero jumps from nowhere, he jumps down and he beats some 20-25 people, he beats in one instance, and everybody is laughing, enjoying. This is perverted reflection, this is illusory world. The original what happens is in the spiritual world, and where there is reciprocation of love. Lord Balramji is engaging in these pastimes to attract our hearts towards him. And actually this is real entertainment. What entertainment we are seeing in the movies and all that is simply titillation of the senses, because the senses are agitated. Actual entertainment is when there is reciprocation of love. When Lord and his devotees enjoy wonderful reciprocation, and Krishna, Balram and the coward boyfriends are playing, enjoying, the heart is so fully satisfied that you don't need mundane entertainment of this world. So therefore, this is the main lesson we have to learn, that we have to love the Lord and develop spiritual emotions. Because ultimately the goal of all these things we are doing, this is all part of sadhana bhakti, which Rupa Goswami has given us. 64 items he has given. One of the items is observe festivals, remember the Lord. All these things we are doing, ultimately the goal is always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. And through knowledge, we remember Krishna, definitely. But the goal of all this knowledge is to develop emotions for Krishna. Because emotions, compared to knowledge, emotions are more effective in helping us remember an object or a person. Always if you see this in life, some any object is there, if you are told this is like this, you may not remember it as effectively as if you add some attachment to it or some emotional connection with that person or that object. Therefore, the goal of Krishna consciousness process and these festivals and the goal of hearing all these pastimes of Lord Balram is to make our hearts soft and develop love for Krishna and Balram. Actually, in Vrindavan, what is happening? Krishna, Balram, how did they grow up? Today morning we heard how as infants, as they were growing up, they would, small teeth would come, and Yashoda and Rohini and all the Brijvasis, gopis, they would be so happy seeing Krishna and Balram growing, crawling, then standing up. And they would hold the tail of the calves, and the calves would get afraid and they would run, and little Krishna and Balram would be dragged through the pasturing grounds of Vrindavan, and their body would be completely smeared with the dust of Vrindavan, and all the gopis and everybody would be laughing, and Krishna Balram would be enjoying this, holding the tail of the calf. And Brijvasis, they could never understand that Krishna is God or Balram is God. They had so much love, kevala bhakti, jnana shunya bhakti. There was no knowledge that Krishna is Lord. So much intensity they had in their love for Krishna and Balram. Rava Govind Maharaj says a nice pastime regarding this. How Brijvasis could never understand that Krishna is God or Balram is God. Once during the Damodar Leela, when Mother Yashoda bound Krishna, Balramji came and he saw. He said, "Hare, what is this? You are tied up. I'll help you." So he went and told Mother Yashoda that you should release Krishna. What is this? You have tied him. And Mother Yashoda was very angry because she wanted to punish Krishna in transcendental love. So she had tied him up. And here comes his equally mischievous brother Balram, who has somehow escaped this time. But he has the audacity to come and tell me to release Krishna. She says, "How dare you tell me that? Why do you tell me to release Krishna?" So Balram says, "Mother Yashoda, do you know who this Krishna is? He is not ordinary boy. He is the supreme personality of Godhead. All incarnations are coming from him." So Mother Yashoda said, "Acha, then who are you?" He said, "I am the first incarnation. All Mahavishnu, Garbhodaksha Vishnu, all incarnations come from me." Mother Yashoda was even more surprised. And she said, "Acha." So then in great anger, she said, "All incarnations have to take birth in my house only, or what?" And she immediately told Balram to run away, or else she will tie him up also. And Balramji ran. This is kevala bhakti. So much love for Krishna and Balram that there is no understanding, no knowledge that they are God. We can't artificially imitate this. It goes without saying, of course. But We have to develop emotions, love for the Lord. We have to offer our hearts. Today is a day when we can tell the Lord, we can offer our hearts and say that, I don't have any love for you. Let me develop love for you. Let me develop attraction for you. So like this, Krishna and Balaram would enjoy wonderful pastimes. They would go to the forest. After their fifth year, during their Poganda age, they would go to the forest. They were given charge of the cows. And whole day they would play different games. And they had expert technology to pluck fruit from the trees. And they would enjoy, like, they would throw stones and get the fruits. Or sometimes they would take strings and tie them with the stone and throw it like a hook and get the fruits. And so a little more advanced technology was they would shake the trees to get the fruits. And one technology which they used every day was whenever they would kill some demon, they would throw the demon on the tree top and all the fruits would fall. So like that, they would enjoy different pastimes in Vrindavan. They would imitate different animals. Actually, today is also the anniversary of Brahma Vimohan Leela, because Balaramji didn't go today. And Brahmaji got bewildered. That pastime actually took place today. One day when Krishna and Balaram were herding the cows, friends of Krishna and Balaram came and said, "Dear Balaram, dear Krishna, do you know there is a forest of Talwan nearby and there are wonderful tal fruits. Can't you smell the aroma? It's coming till here. We should go and enjoy those fruits. But there is a very big demon living there called Dhenukasur. And Dhenukasur is in the form of an ass. And he has many associates. Many of his. So all these asses are there. And we are not able to enjoy. So what do? And we are hungry. We want this. And Krishna and Balaram are always ready to please their friends. Because that is the loving relationship they had. So Krishna and Balaram, they go to the... They actually start laughing first when they hear that Dhenukasur is in the form of an ass. Because they start wondering how this demon has come in the form of an ass. It becomes like a joke for them. So very laughingly, they dance towards the Talwan forest. And this time, Balaramji had not yet killed a demon. So Krishna wants him to have the honors of killing the demon today. So Balaramji takes the initiative, goes and shakes the tal tree vigorously. And it creates a big sound. And Dhenukasur hears it. And he gets very angry. And he says, somebody is trying to enjoy my property. And in great anger, he comes in front of Balaram and turns and kicks Lord Balaram on his chest by his hind legs. But Balaramji is not affected. Dhenukasur again kicks. But this time, Lord Balaram holds Dhenukasur's legs and moves his body vigorously in the air. And by the movement itself, Dhenukasur dies. And then Lord Balaramji picks up Dhenukasur. He throws him on the top of the tallest tal tree in Talwan. And then that tree starts shaking, falls on another tree. And that tree starts shaking like that. Oh, so many trees fall. And so many fruits fall. It creates a big scene. And all the associates of Dhenukasur, they also come running to avenge the death of their master. Because Dhenukasur has died. And now Krishna also joins in the fun. And both Krishna and Balaram, they pick up all these demons. They kill them, they twirl them, throw them. And like this, they enjoy beautiful pastimes. Actually, Prabhupada says that all these asses were of different colors. So when they died, it was like a panoramic scene. A lot of colors. So like this, they enjoyed. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he gives us an important lesson in this Dhenukasur pastime. He says Dhenukasur represents the contamination of being like an ass. That is, ass carries huge burden. So similarly, in material world, we carry huge burden caused by ignorance. You know, ignorance of our actual position. Ignorance of the glories of holy name. The I and mine conception is a result of this anartha of ignorance. And Dhenukasur represents this anartha. I was hearing one lecture of Srila Prabhupada. He gives amazing analysis. He says, this is the biggest disease in material world. Not cancer or other diseases. Disease of ignorance. How can we know the symptom? If somebody has a disease of, say, malaria, we know he has malaria. He has symptom. He shivers. Somebody has tuberculosis, you know, we may be coughing. So this disease of ignorance is all pervading and also deep rooted. And the symptom is everybody is thinking, I am this body. I am Hindu, Marwadi, rich, beautiful. All this bodily identification is a symptom of this disease of ignorance. And if a disease is all pervading, sometimes it's okay. You know, it can be cured. But, and on the other hand, if it is all pervading and not deep rooted, it's okay. But imagine, it's all pervading and also deep rooted. Sometimes some disease may be very deep rooted, but it may not be affecting many people. That's also okay. So ignorance is all pervading, deep rooted. And we are completely in this consciousness in the material world. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in that bhajan, Jada vidya jato mayara vaibhava tomara bhajane badha moha janamiya anitya samsare jiboke karaye gadha se gada hoye samsare ra bhoja bahinu anek kala bardakya ekhana shaktira abhave kichunai lage bhala. Very beautifully he says that jada vidya, all this vidya that we are accumulating in the material world, which encourages us to be an enjoyer, it's maya's vaibhav. It's all illusory. And it is a badha, tomara bhajane badha. It's an obstacle. It's a big anartha. Why? Because it increases our moha, attachment to this temporary world. Moha janamiya anitya samsare and jiboke karaye gadha. It makes an ass sort of a human being. And in utter humility, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I am one such ass. That's his humility. He says, se gada hoye samsare ra bhoja. I'm carrying. So therefore, this is a very big anartha. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes an amazing point here. He says in Chaitanya Shikshamrita that this disease of ignorance, we have to use our own endeavor to remove this anartha. Actually, most of the demons that Krishna killed in Vrindavan, all these demons, they represent some anarthas, and by the power of the holy name, these anarthas can be eliminated. But the anarthas which are represented, or the demons which Balramji kills, anartha which are represented by the demons that Balramji kills, these anarthas, a sadhaka has to endeavor to remove them with great determination and endeavor. Of course, it is the spiritual master's mercy, but that mercy is always there. And we have to also, we cannot absolve ourselves from the responsibility of working hard to remove these anarthas. So Denukasur, Balramji killing Denukasur is a lesson for all of us to work hard in our sadhana bhakti with determination. Determination to remove the ignorance from our heart. And how do we express this determination to the Lord? By the choices we make. We constantly get choices. Every day we get choices. Choice of Maya or Krishna. For the choices we make determines whether we are on the right track or not. I remember a few years back, Isolina Radhanaswami Maharaj in one lecture, he was saying, even when we are dying, on the moment of death, as we are lying on the bed, we have choice. On the one ear, Krishna will be whispering, Prabhu, come back to the spiritual world. And on the other ear, Maya Devi will be whispering, please stay back. So that means the choice, our choices have to be for Krishna. That's the way we overcome this anartha. Like in the last Pune Yatra, I think this came out very strikingly in the last class, where Maharaj mentioned that there are two points. Our sadhana and the choices we make. Both are needed for spiritual progress. Sometimes we may say, my sadhana is very good. I am chanting every day. I get up at 2 o'clock. I manage everything. Excellent sadhana. But that doesn't mean you will not be, Krishna or Maya will not present choices. So the choice we make, that is very important. And sometimes we may make the right choice. I want Krishna and Guru. But we may not do sadhana. That also will weaken us. So both sadhana and our choices, they are critical. They are very important. And therefore, we have to constantly work on removing this anartha from our heart by meditating on the spiritual master's instructions and by being introspective and understanding that I am fallen. basically not justifying our situation. This ignorance becomes more compounded when we justify that I am a great devotee, I am an advanced devotee, and anyway, this anartha is there, but this will be there whole life, what to do? No, we cannot justify, we cannot be complacent, we have to know that I am fallen, and we have to work hard to remove it, although it apparently is impossible. But that endeavor has to be there. Like once, Srila Prabhupada was in India, he had a photographer disciple who was taking photographs of different places, and Prabhupada had given him some projects, but this disciple was having difficulty in India. So he said, Prabhupada, I'm sorry, I want to go to the West. Prabhupada said, okay, no problem, go. So the day he was leaving, he came to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, I'm so fallen. You had given me a chance to serve in India, but I'm not able to do it. I think I'll be able to serve better in America. I'm going. So Prabhupada, I'm very sorry, I'm so fallen. Prabhupada said, please remain fallen. And he was bewildered. Is Prabhupada blessing me or cursing me? What is this? Then he approached another devotee, and another devotee again asked, clarified with Prabhupada. Prabhupada, you told him, remain fallen? Prabhupada said, yes. That is very good consciousness. I said, you should always be in this consciousness that I am fallen. And then make an endeavor. So it's very important that we don't justify our situation and falsely assure ourselves that I am very advanced or the anarthas will remain whole life. No. We have to endeavor and get out of it. So this is Dhenukasur. On another occasion, when Krishna and Balaram were in the forest, one coward boy did not come that day because of some household duties. So there was another associate of Kamsa, Pralambasur. He disguised as a coward boy, that coward boy. Expertly, Pralambasur studied who has not come. Very good planning and strategically placed himself, and Krishna recognized him. So Pralambasur was another demon who appeared in expert disguise, but he was a little afraid of Krishna, and that particular day they were playing a game where Krishna and Balaram were in two different teams. They were captains of two different teams, and the game was whichever team loses, they have to carry the winner on their shoulders. So Krishna's team lost. So Krishna carried Sridham, and Bhadrasen carried Vrishabh, and Pralambasur, he carried Balaram. Because Pralambasur was in Krishna's team. So, in this pastime took place at Bandiravan. We have seen that huge banyan tree there when we go for yatras. In that tree, under that tree, this pastime took place. So that tree was the last point where they had to carry. So, Pralambasur was carrying Balaram till that point. But then, Pralambasur went ahead because he wanted to kill Balaram. And suddenly, Balaram, by Krishna's yoga maya potency, began to wonder, why is this boy taking me far away? And then he realized, oh, this is a demon. And by this time, Pralambasur started assuming his original form because he wanted to kill Balaram. Demon form. Dark, you know, he was dark, huge. So the acharyas explain, it was like a dark monsoon cloud with lightning with full moon on top. Balaramji is compared to the full moon. So Balaramji, when he realized that this is Pralambasur, the Rakshasa, immediately with his fist, he broke the skull of this demon. And Pralambasur died on the spot. And all the coward boys were watching this fun. They clapped, well done, and they glorified Krishna and Balaram. Shri Balaramji ki jai. So in this pastime, also we can learn some lessons. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Pralambasur came in disguise. And Pralambasur represents lusty inclinations. The desire for honor, name, fame that we have. And why this is most dangerous is because it is not gross and obvious. If you see in the outside world, for example, does anybody talk about lust as being bad? Everybody glorifies lust. They think it is a friend. Desire for honor, fame, respect, it is actually glorified. If somebody is very lusty, he is called as a person having passion for life. They use nice terminology. You know, if somebody is very greedy, crass greed goes in the name of ambition. He's a very ambitious person. Actually, this is Pralambasur in disguise. Appears to be very good. No, these are very dangerous for sadhakas. Actually, in another lecture I was hearing, Radhana Swami Maharaj was saying that lust is not as bad as our thinking that it is good. It is okay. So then he gave an example. He said, drinking poison is bad. If you are given poison and you die, it is bad. But voluntarily drinking poison, that is worse. Or if you are in forest fire, that is bad. But to voluntarily go into the forest fire and think that this fire is enjoyable, that is bad. Therefore, we should not trust these tendencies. We should not trust lust. That is the point. We should not trust this. This is a very big anartha. And we should be wanting to overcome this. Etato api kaunteya purushasya vipaschita. Even a man of discrimination gets completely bewildered by this anartha, which is represented by Pralambasur, who comes very deceptively. Therefore, we should know that we should carefully avoid this anartha. And what is the solution for this? Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, constantly meditating on the instructions of the spiritual master. Making it at the life and soul. What happens when we constantly hear the spiritual master's instructions and hear him attentively and follow his instructions? The Pralambasur within will be exposed. We will come face to face with our own anarthas and realities. And then we can call out to Krishna helplessly. Now, if we do not even know that we have a big anartha inside, we will not even call out to Krishna helplessly. So, therefore, we have to take shelter of Krishna. So, like this, there are different pastimes where Krishna is teaching us many nice lessons. So, the first is we discussed about how we should approach Balaramji's pastimes with love, not with logical analysis. Secondly, we discussed how Denukasur represents the anartha of ignorance and we should overcome it with determination. And Pralambasur is representing the anartha of lust and desire for name and fame and honor. And we should overcome it with one-pointed attention on meditating on the instructions of the spiritual master. Also, there is another very, very instructive pastime of Lord Balaram. When Lord Balaram was in Dwarka, he was enjoying with some of his associates. And these are all young girls, and he was associating with them in the Raivata mountain. He was enjoying. One gorilla attacked, called Vivida. Vivida was actually an associate of Lord Ram. But he got association of Narakasur. And he wanted to avenge the death of Narakasur, who was killed by Krishna. And he became a big demon. And here was Vivida. He saw Balaramji is enjoying with these girls. So he wanted to enjoy with these girls. So he came there and started making funny sounds and started moving his body. Initially, all the girls started laughing. Prabhupada writes there, young girls love to laugh at anything. So they were all laughing, giggling, and he was making sounds, kila, kila. So all these things are going on. But then later on, he became obscene. And then Balaramji said, this is enough. So I should teach him a lesson. So Balaramji hit him on the head and blood started coming out from Duvida. Prabhupada writes, actually it was beautiful. It was like manganese, oxide, red oxide coming out. Duvida got very angry. He picked up all the salt trees, oak trees and started hurling at Balaram. And Balaramji with his mace broke all of them. Actually, all the trees in that forest, all the oak trees were broken by Lord Balaram. Finally, he got so frustrated, he started picking up stones. Now, Duvida had a lot of strength in his arms. He had strength of 10,000 elephants. And when he would go to the ocean, he would create like tsunami waves. He would just, twirl the ocean, create so much of flooding. Very powerful. He was throwing stones at Balaramji and Balaramji with his mace was hitting them and breaking them, deflecting them. So you can imagine, so many stones one by one throwing and Balaramji is hitting them. Sounds very familiar. This is the origin of baseball, cricket. So all these games are perverted reflections of what Krishna and Balaram used to play in their eternal pastimes. So then finally, all the stones are broken. And finally, he got exhausted and Duvida started fighting with his bare fist. And Balaramji also kept his mace aside. And Balaramji hit on his collarbone and killed him. Now, actually, Acharya has explained, Duvida Gorilla was associate of Lord Ram. How did he become a demon? This is an interesting story. In the Ramayana, when Lakshman was fighting, once he became injured, we know that pastime. It appeared that he has died, and Hanumanji went to get Sanjeevani. At that time, Dvivida and Mahendra, they were actually Sugriva's very close associates. They were generals in the fight against Ravan, on the side of Ram. But Dvivida at that point of time got a doubt. Lakshman is injured and is he an ordinary mortal? That was the seed of doubt. Now, why this doubt came? He started thinking Lakshman to be an ordinary person. And then because he had a lot of false pride, I am very good, I am strong. So whenever there is pride in the heart, automatically we think I am better than others or somebody else is inferior. Or we start looking at a person on the material platform. This is the biggest mistake he did. He started looking at Lord Lakshman, who is the source of all strength, he is the original spiritual master. He saw him on material platform, or he saw him wrongly, judged him wrongly. And because of that offense to, that is Guru Aparad, seeing the Guru on the material platform, that was the offense Dvivida did. So when we have close proximity to the spiritual master, it said, we should be careful while dealing with fire, deities and Guru, because we can burn ourselves. It's very easy that, very easily we might fall into this trap of seeing the spiritual master on material level. And that's what happened to Dvivida. And then because of that Guru Aparad, then he did Vaishnava Aparad. And what is the award you get for Guru Aparad and Vaishnava Aparad? We got association of materialistic people and demons. And that's what he got. He got friendship of Narakasur. So we have to be very careful of seeing the spiritual master as a representative of Krishna and not seeing him materially. This is the lesson we can learn from Dvivida Gorilla's pastime and Lord Balram's pastime. Also, there is another instructive story also associated with false pride. Is when Krishna's son, Samba is the son of Jambavati and Krishna. He wanted to marry daughter of Duryodhan, Lakshmana. So he went in that Swayamvar ceremony and he kidnapped her. So Duryodhan and all the Kurus got very angry. They said, how can Samba do this to us? They got very angry. Now they cannot kill Samba because he has kidnapped our daughter. And once our daughter has been touched by someone in the Vedic culture, then she is married to that person. So if he cannot kill him, then she will become a widow. But we have to teach him a lesson. We have to teach all the Yadavas a lesson. So all the Kurus, they attacked Samba. And in a cheating way, six Marathis fought against him. Actually, it is unfair in the fight. Six of them fought in a cheating way. They defeated Samba and they arrested him. Now, little did they realize, the Kurus, because of their intoxicated by pride, Duryodhana and party did not realize that Yadavas, Balram and Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we are actually trying to fight with them. But they were intoxicated by pride. And when the news, Narad Muni brought this news to Ugrasen's assembly, he said, Maharaj, you know what has happened? Samba has been kidnapped, Samba has been arrested by the Kauravas, the Kurus. And immediately the assembly house is outraged. All the Yadavas, they get angry. They said, we will teach them a lesson. Let us go and attack immediately. No? Now the Kauravas will be history now. We'll finish them off. Let us go. They were ready for war. But Balramji, very mature, he stood up. He said, wait. I have very good relationship with Kurus. Because I am Guru of Duryodhan. I have taught him Gada fighting. So he will be very nice to me. I will take care of this. Don't worry. I will get Samba, Lakshmana, very peacefully. So saying like this, Balramji went to Uddhava. Uddhava went ahead and told them that Balramji has come. And all the Kurus, they had a lot of affection for Balram. They loved Balram. So they all came to greet Balram and they worshipped him. And then Balramji finally came to the point. He didn't believe in beating around the bush. He just came, he said, in a very deep voice. Actually, Krishna, one of the qualities, 64 qualities is Krishna has a lot of deepness in his voice. So very deep voice, Lord Balram. He told them that by unfair means you have arrested Samba. So I have come on behalf of King Ugrasen that please release Samba and his wife Lakshmana. And as soon as Balaram made this proposal, Duryodhan and party, they got so angry. They said, this is impossible. How dare you speak like this? They got very angry. In fact, they felt that Yadavas are a provincial kingdom. It's, we have given them charity. We have allowed them to use our insignia. We have allowed them to use our symbols. Yadavas, Dwarka is a small province. We are the rulers of this world. And how dare you talk like this? How can a shoe claim to sit on the throne or the crown? And then Duryodhan says, how can you seek to enjoy the booty which is meant for the lion? How can the jackals want to enjoy it? So like that, all these Kuru, they start saying many things to Lord Balaram. And of all people, they are saying this to Lord Balaram. And Balaramji, quietly, he hears everything. But he is seething with anger. And after he hears the whole abusing things by the Kurus, Lord Balaramji's eyes become red. And then he gets up and he starts laughing. A different kind of laughter. Balaramji's laughter now is not like our Gopinathendra Prabhu's laughter. It's different laughter. It is laughter out of wrath, anger. And he comes out and to no one in particular he says, this is going to be the end of the Kuru dynasty. He said that instead of thinking how to please them and how to appease them and get and pacify these matters in a peaceful way, I should have thought of different ways to punish these people. So now I will punish them in such a way that they will never forget. So Lord Balaramji didn't bother about tackling each Kuru individually. No, he didn't think, oh, you said like this. Oh, Dushasan, you said like this. I will punish you like this. No, he said, in one wholesale, I will punish them. So he took his plow, dug the earth at Hastinapur, and he said, and he dragged Hastinapur. He said, I'll put all the whole city of Hastinapur into Ganges. So he was, that was his fury. And when Hastinapur started moving, all of them in Hastinapur realized, this is my earthquake, origin of all earthquakes. The whole thing was shaking, and then they all ran to Balaram. They realized Balaramji's prowess and his power. And they said, oh, Balaramji, please forgive. And they came running and they kept Lakshman and Samba in front. You know, we are sorry, we have offended you. And then they pacified Lord Balaram with sweet words. So again, here we see, because of this pride, Duryodhan forgets his guru. You know, Balaramji is his own spiritual master. So like that. So here, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur gives a nice explanation. He says, just like Balaramji didn't bother about individual faults of each Kuru and he didn't bother to punish them and he just dragged the whole city, even Harinam is like that. Even Harinam is like Balaramji's plow. And our heart is like Hastinapur. So, small sin, big sin, this anartha, Harinam doesn't care. Harinam takes the whole heart, Harinam takes and offers it in the Ganges water of Krishna's mercy. So therefore, we should take shelter of the holy name by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. This is also a nice pastime. So like this, Balaramji performed many pastimes. One very instructive pastime which we have heard many years devotees speak is about the lesson that we can learn of culture of proper behavior and respect towards other Vaishnavas. Towards seniors especially. This Lord Balaramji taught by the way he handled and punished Romaharshan Suta. When Lord Balaramji was approached by both the parties for the war at Kurukshetra, Lord Balaramji didn't want to take any sides. He went on a pilgrimage. And there he saw Romaharshan Suta, all the Fajaf at Naimisharanya, they paid respect to Balaramji. But Romaharshan Suta did not get up. So Lord Balaramji got very angry that he is offering, is showing disrespect. And he is so learned and intelligent, but he doesn't have this basic etiquette. So Lord Balaramji killed him with a blade of Kushagras. Just took that blade of Kushagras, because Romaharshan was not humble like a blade of grass, So Balramji took that blade of Kushagras and killed him. So here, he had a lot of knowledge. He was very learned. He was a disciple of Vedavyas. He was sense controlled. He followed all the four regulative principles. He was a pakka Brahman. But because he had this pride and he didn't show respect and he was not teaching and he was a leader. Romarshan was a big leader of the all the people were hearing, all the phages were hearing from him. So he was setting a wrong example. So Prabhupada said to one PhD professor once, what is the use of all your Prabhupada said, what is the use of all big philosophy? Big philosophy is useless without proper behavior. I know sometimes, you know, people think, but why Balramji killed someone because he didn't offer respect? Actually, we should at this stage make an important clarification. Balramji was not angry because he was insulted. You know, when we respect the Lord, it is not that we are flattering the Lord or the Lord, we are doing something for the Lord's pleasure or Lord's benefit. When we offer obeisances to the Lord, it is His causeless mercy that He accepts it. So we cannot think that. So we say, no, please accept my humble obeisances. When you offer obeisances, it's not that, see, I've respected you, I've done a favor to you. No. Please accept my humble obeisances. That means if He accepts my obeisances, then that is His mercy upon me. So Balramji was basically very upset because he, Romarshan as a leader, was setting a wrong example. Generally, we find this little different, little bewildering because we are not used to, in material life, we are not used to glorifying others or glorifying Lord. We seek glorification for ourselves, basically. But Krishna consciousness means glorify the Lord. And when we glorify ourselves, either directly or indirectly, always there are two problems. One is we don't have any glories that we can glorify. And secondly, even if you have a lot of glories, Krishna's material energy humbles us on that particular quality. You know, somebody is a great speaker, he'll go blank sometime. If somebody is a great manager, he'll do some major managerial blunder. So, material energy is like that. To humble, Krishna will humble us. So, if we are seeking for glorification for ourselves, because we don't have many glories, we'll always be dissatisfied. And even if we have, we'll be insecure. But if we glorify Krishna and Balram, they have unlimited qualities. So when we are glorifying the Lord, it is for our own benefit. So Balramji basically wanted to teach that knowledge of scriptures which Romarshan had is important. But knowledge and behavior of the two, which is more important? Behavior. Asat Sangha Tyaga E Vaishnava Achar. Mahaprabhu has said that we can know a devotee by his achar, by his behavior. In Vedic culture, therefore, Romarshan had a lot of knowledge. But in Vedic culture, look at this. Vedic culture, the importance, the potency of the knowledge was not judged by its informational content, but by its transformational potency. How much the knowledge can transform people's hearts. How the person who is a carrier of that knowledge is. What is his character? And because, if Balramji had not punished Romarshan, what people would have thought? People would have thought, knowledge is more important than behavior. So to establish this point, Lord Balramji killed him. But still somebody might say, okay, but why such an extreme action of killing? Well, that's because that's Lord Balram. That is, when he teaches something, he teaches in such a way that nobody can forget. That is his style of teaching. You know? Actually, this is, you will see in Krishna Leela, there are many examples where small mistake, big punishment, so that you will never forget. Like this, Romarshan is one. Second, if during that entering Mathura, that dhobi, Krishna, he refuses to give cloth. One karate chop, Krishna just kills him. Just because he refused to give cloth. There are many examples like this. One small mistake and big action. Like Chota Haridas. You know, one small mistake, Mahaprabhu banished him. And that Govinda Ghosh, I think, he carried Haritaki. Mahaprabhu said, you are storing, get married. Such a extreme thing, just for keeping some digestive. We have a big godown of so many things, you know, here. So, can you imagine what a punishment Mahaprabhu is giving? The Lord is, of course, Lord is, Kusumadapi komalam, vajradapi katoram. He is also soft. He also for small act, small one small insignificant good act, he gives big reward. Like Putana, just because she offered milk. Or best example is Jagai Madai. You know, one small thing and Mahaprabhu, Nitanaprabhu forgive them. Also, Ajamil is a classic example. Holy name, just once you chanted. Sometimes devotees say that, you know, actually we have been chanting for so many years. Ajamil just chanted once, he got so much mercy. Why we don't get that mercy? So actually when such questions come in our mind, we should know the other aspect of the Lord also. That how for a small mistake, he gives big punishment also. So when we expect the Lord to give us a lot of mercy for chanting so many years, we should be ready for that extraordinary mercy of the other kind also. You know, that if you are not prepared for that, then better let us do our sadhana bhakti and let us be happy and grateful. So coming back to this pastime, in this pastime, what Lord is teaching through Romarshan is that respecting, the culture of respect is very important. And sometimes if you are in doubt, if you make a mistake of over-respect is better than mistake of under-respect. At least there will be no Vaishnava aparad. You know, I remember once in the initial days when we were doing book distribution, our Braj Gopal Prabhu was here. We were partners, we used to go. And one local train, there was one man in shorts and ponytail and, you know, kind of banyan. Looked little funny, I avoided him. And Braj Gopal Prabhu went to him and he started talking Krishna Katha and he said, I am Prabhupada's disciple. And Braj Gopal Prabhu paid full dandavat in the local train and gave him book. And then he came and I was thinking, why is he not coming? Finally, he came late and I managed my distribution. And in the temple, Braj Gopal Prabhu was saying, Arey, I met Prabhupada's disciple. And I was like, I was a little cynical, you know. I couldn't accept it. But then what happened, actually, that was a very important incident. This devotee was actually Prabhupada's disciple. And he met Radhana Swami Maharaj and other devotees in one program. And he explained how this devotee was nicely cultured and trained. And he offered such respect. And this particular devotee was narrating this. He started crying. And then he told Maharaj and he appreciated Maharaj in front of so many other devotees. And then Maharaj came back to temple. And then I realized, my God, it was a big blunder. It's actually a mental offense. So then this devotee was touched. Because he was respected and he was loved. So we realize that we don't know who is a Vaishnava. You can't just say just because somebody is externally some way. You should always respect. That is a lesson we can learn from the pastime of Romarshan Sutta. Actually, another interesting facet of Lord Balaram's personality is that we always hear about his short temper, fighting, angry. Actually, Lord Balaramji is an emblem of humility, great humility. Because look at this. He is chastising Romarshan. He is killing him with that blade of grass. And then what do the sages do? They don't get scared and they don't run away. They tell Balaramji that, Balaramji, now you should do some atonement. You have killed Romarshan. Actually, we should appreciate their guts also. You know, all the sages, they go to Balaramji and they say that, actually, we had given him a blessing just now. That, you know, you will live forever, you will live a long life, and you just killed him. So Balaramji doesn't get angry with them. He doesn't take another bunch of grasses. You know, he's humble. He listens to them. He says, yes. And he says, I can bring him back to life. But then the sages say, no, you are God, you are perfect. If you bring him back to life, that means that you have made a mistake. No, you have killed him, that's okay. But then, to set an example as a leader, you can do some atonement. So then they advise Lord Balaram to kill one demon Balwal and go on pilgrimage. And Lord Balaram humbly accepts. He reciprocates with the wishes of the sages. He says, yes, whatever you say. So whatever they say, he does. So this is humility. We have our own agenda and own program. But to reciprocate with another devotee's love is actually humility. So they propose like this and Balaramji agrees. Like Srila Prabhupada, they wanted to go from London to Philadelphia. Very hectic schedule once. And Bhagwan Prabhu came from Paris and he said, Prabhupada, you should come to Paris. We have arranged a big program. Prabhupada said, no, but I've already fixed everything. I cannot come now. No, Prabhupada, please come. And then he was just begging Prabhupada that we have arranged like this and we have a nice program, nice this. And all devotees, they And Prabhupada told them that we will stick to this plan. We just can't change. But when Bhagavan Prabhu was speaking like this, Prabhupada said, okay, let us go. Prabhupada agreed and the devotee said, Prabhupada, but you had decided not to go anywhere else. Prabhupada said, what to do? Bhagavan is a supreme controller. Who can say no to Bhagavan? So Prabhupada was having, this is humility actually, you know, to reciprocate with the love of other devotees. Not be very fanatic and rigid. One has to be flexible. And Balaramji not only told them yes, yes, he actually went to all the places. This is actually humility. Sometimes it's very nice, very easy to be humble in the front. But inside, actually humility is tested in our private moments. You know, character is determined by what we do when we are alone. Kali Yuga is an age of hypocrisy. And hypocrisy is most rampant when we are alone. So Balaramji told them yes, yes. But he actually went to all the holy places. Except one place. Jagannath Puri. Why he didn't go there? Because he was embarrassed to see himself being worshipped there. So this is Lord Balaramji's humility. And another aspect of Lord Balaram's humility is, he gave so much importance to maintaining relationships. Actually we see, when Bhima was fighting with Duryodhan, the final battle of Mahabharata, Balaramji entered and Pandava suddenly, actually Pandavas would always be happy to see Balaram. But on this particular occasion, they were not really happy because in the sense they were, because Balaramji is, Duryodhan is fighting against Bhima. And actually when Duryodhan kills, Bhima kills Duryodhan, technically it was unfair. He kills him below the waist, he hits him below the waist. And Balaramji has trained him for so many years. Balaramji's pride, Duryodhan was Balaramji's pride. Now we generally say, oh, Krishna is expert. He talked so nicely and expertly and he, you know, convinced Balaram. No, but we have to understand Balaramji's mood. Balaramji had so much love for Krishna that he was willing to forego his attachment to Duryodhan. Yeah, he agreed, yes. Even during Subhadra's kidnapping, how did Arjuna kidnap Subhadra? How did Arjuna get married to Subhadra? It's scandalous in one sense. Balaram wanted Subhadra to be married to Duryodhan. But Krishna said, and Arjuna wanted to marry Subhadra. So Krishna could have, one way Krishna could have gone and told Balaram, you know, you could have explained everything very nicely, you could have done. But Krishna is Krishna, you know, he has his own flavor. So instead of directly talking, sitting with Balaram and explaining, he tried his own unique style, that is Krishna's rasa. So he tells Arjuna to come in the dress of a sannyasi. And Subhadra Devi is serving the sannyasi and they exchange loving glances and then they have their own reciprocation and finally Arjuna as a sannyasi kidnaps Subhadra and Balaramji is serving the sannyasi all the while, thinking that I've got a good sannyasi at home. So you can imagine the fury and the rage that Balaramji must be experiencing when seeing that Arjuna has cheated him. He was outraged. And then what does Balaramji do? Because Krishna says, okay, this is not important. This is very important actually, you know. This is actually love. To keep a relationship going despite all differences, different personalities, different flavors. Generally we think love means, you know, generally in this world people think love means some feeling that you get when you see some girl or boy walking by and, you know, that's what the movies say, love, this is love. Actually love is determined by the willingness to keep a relationship going despite every reason, there is every reason to break it or there is every reason to fight. Therefore Vaishnavism is beyond right, and what is right in these two incidents? Actually, it's wrong. But basically, we have to cooperate and maintain the relationships. Actually, Krishna also displayed this very interestingly. When Balaramji killed Rukmi, it was a day of the wedding of Aniruddha. And Rukmini, everybody is there in that marriage hall. And Balaramji kills Rukmi and beats all these kings. And what is Krishna's response? In Vrindavan, when Balaramji would kill demons, what would Krishna say? Well done. Or he would embrace Krishna. Now here, during this wedding ceremony, when Balaram killed Rukmi, what did Krishna do? He kept quiet. Why? If he said, Balaramji, very good, then Rukmini will be sad. Because Rukmi is Rukmini's brother. And if he said, no, why did you kill? If he supported Rukmini, then Balramji would be angry. So he didn't want to disappoint any party. So he preferred to keep quiet. So actually, Krishna is showing through this example that, you know, relationships have to be maintained with so many parties. Rukmini and Balram, both parties he kept. Actually, there is a nice story somebody told me, a little off track. Recently, somebody told me that one man prayed to God and God appeared actually. But what do you want? He said, you know, I'm traveling every day from Mira Road to Church Gate. Such hectic, so difficult to travel. I want one flyover, one bridge, you know. One bridge from Mira Road to direct Church Gate. One flyover. I'll reach in 20 minutes. So much traffic jams. So God said, before saying Tathastu, he said, wait. See, actually I can fulfill your desire, but it's a very materialistic desire you are asking. I can fulfill it, no problem. But imagine the damage it will do to the environment. And, you know, so much Ugra Karma. Reconsider, ask for something else. I can fulfill your desire, but it's a very shallow desire. So he says, okay, he thinks, and then he says, actually I have one very serious problem. Actually, my wife is fed out with me. I am also fed out with her. We are not able to understand each other. We are having so many difficulties. So can you help me develop how to understand her? Can you tell me? So then God said, okay, how many lanes you want on the bridge, on the flyover? Let's get going. You know, let's make it. It's in a lighter vein. Please don't take offense. The point is, relationships are so difficult in Kali Yuga. And it's always mental, you know. We imagine he said like this because he meant like this, and he behaved like this because he has this in his heart, and so many imaginations and so many complications in the mind. So it's such a big challenge for us. So we should not get too mental about these things, and we should know that we are so many Vaishnavas, and each one has a unique flavor, and whatever happens, we have to keep our relationships going. And also, Balramji, as Lakshman, Lord Balramji showed this. It was a big test. Lord Ram is banished to the forest. Lakshman need not go. Actually, Sita Devi, she went with Lord Ram because, of course, she is eternal consort of Lord Ram. But she had taken a vow during marriage that, you know, we'll be together during thick and thin. But Lakshman, he had not taken a vow. Brothers don't take vows. So when Lord Ram was banished, Balram, as a form of Lord Lakshman, he was willing to be by the side of Lord Ram. He could have easily said, you know, sorry, my dear Lord Ram, what has happened to you? I'm sorry about it. See you in 14 years. He could have said that. But he went. And there also, how much? He didn't sleep for 14 years. So much service. This is the mood of Lord Balram, Lord Lakshman. Always servant, 14 years, not sleeping. And for all that service, he gets chastised by Sita Devi. And is accused. His character is questioned. And he doesn't give a resignation letter. He doesn't get angry. And Lord Ram also chastises him. Why did you leave Sita alone? But still he continues his service. So this is the mood of Lord Balram, Lord Lakshman. Faithful, grateful at all moments. And one more, as we are ending our class now, one more aspect of Lord Balram is Lord Balram's very loving nature. Now we have seen Lord Balram's this aspect also, humility, and is not giving importance to many issues, just downplaying many events. But also what he does is very loving and affectionate. Lord Balram has very loving and affectionate dealings with his devotees. When Lord Balram went to Vrindavan, how did he deal with the Brajvasis? For 2 months he stayed there during the Chaitra and Vaishakha month. He was dealing with the Brajvasis very affectionately because they were feeling such intense separation from Krishna. So Balramji was pacifying them in such a loving way. So Balramji has this very special nature that he very lovingly pacifies, and he reciprocates with his devotees. Not just the Brajvasis, in ISKCON also we have so many examples of devotees with whom Lord Balaram has reciprocated personally. Ladini Mataji, I think, is a classic example. She was attached to Lord Balaram so much. Lord Baldev's deity. She wanted to serve Lord Baldev Varuni, because Lord Balaram is transcendentally intoxicated with this beverage called Varuni. But how do you make Varuni? We don't know. So she bought honey, and she got a big pot of honey and kept it in front of Baldev's deity. She was very attached to Baldev's deity. And she came back after the offering, and lo and behold, all that honey was on Lord Baldev's hands and on Lord Baldev's mouth. Hari Bol. So this is Lord Balaram is reciprocating with her love. Actually, she used to make sandesh for Lord Jagannath Baldev Subhadra. And she used to make sandesh, very unique styles. And generally, if you want to make sandesh, you have to be in the fire for, you know, hours. You have to slowly, you know, condense that milk. But she would do for half an hour only, and then she would go and do some other services and come back and again do. So, and that sandesh was the most tastiest. Mahaprasad. And then devotees asked her, how do you make it? One devotee came to learn from her. He was completely bewildered to see how it is prepared. But still, it was the best. That means Balaramji was personally, empowering her to do it. And she had a very big serious problem once. You know what was the problem? Very serious problem. She wrote a letter to His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj saying that I have a very serious problem. Lord Nityananda Prabhu came in my dream and said, what are you doing here sitting whole day doing deity worship? Go out and preach. And next day, Lord Balaram came in my dream. She is writing in this letter. And he said, don't leave my service. Just stay here only and do my service. So whose order should I follow? So Maharaj was saying in that class that what an unique problem. People come to us with so many problems, but nobody comes with this unique transcendental problem. Whom to follow? Balaramji or Nityananda Prabhu? So this way we can see Lord Balaramji is reciprocating with devotees in ISKCON. We have, I think, 2 years ago, or 2-3 years ago, Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu's mother, Purnima Mataji, such a sincere devotee of Krishna Balaram, very attached to Krishna Balaram duties. And how Balaramji reciprocated with her is so amazing. She was reading that sixth canto purport where Prabhupada writes that one should take shelter of Krishna Balaram, and whenever death comes that untimely, if you take shelter of Krishna Balaram, Balaramji reciprocates. She was actually reading that section when she got a cardiac arrest. And Balaramji took her. And I remember Mataji was so kind to the brahmacharis during yatras when we were staying back. She would get all this Gujarati prasad, Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, myself, you know, used to really enjoy. And then she, and Balaramji took her, and the next, and then there were some devotees in Vrindavan, they didn't know, they were coming to Bombay. They just heard Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu's mother left her body, and they didn't know that she's attached to Krishna Balaram deity. They just bought garland. They just told the pujari, give one garland. And the pujari just took the garland from Balaramji's deity. Pujari also did not know. There are so many deities in Vrindavan. And he took Balaramji's garland and gave. And so that Balaramji's garland, Maha garland, was placed on Mataji's body during the final rites. So you can see Balaramji reciprocates. And Balaramji's best, or in Kali Yuga, the best way the Lord Balaram takes us all back to Godhead and reciprocates with devotees is in the form of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Lord Balaram comes as Lord Nityananda, who is a beggar, who comes to beg from us. He actually could demand that we should chant Hare Krishna, but he actually is begging us. Imagine some beggar comes to your house and says, I'm a beggar, I have come to give you 1 crore rupees. Nobody will say that. But Lord Nityananda Prabhu coming and telling us to chant Hare Krishna is like that. It's like a beggar coming and giving us a priceless gift. And when Madai, actually, we know the Jagai Madai pastime, and Madai hit Lord Nityananda, it's interesting, there's one lecture, 6 demons of the mind. Radhana Swami Maharaj says Madai was Ravan. So when Ravan shot an arrow at Lakshman, Lakshman got injured. And then Sanjeevani was bought by Hanuman. And then when Lakshman recovered, he told Ram, enough, my dear Lord Ram, kill him, kill Ravan now. Bahut ho gaya abhi, kill him. And that's how Ravan was killed. But when Ravan comes as Madai and he hits Lakshman, who is now Nityananda Prabhu, what does Nityananda Prabhu say? He says, oh, it was accidentally he hit me. मदाई मारे ते प्रभु राखिले जगाय देव से पड़ील रक्त दुख नहीं होय. इट वॉज देव, इट वॉज एक्सीडेंटल. वी नो इफ समबडी हिट्स बलराम ऑन द हेड, व्हाट विल बलराम डू? वी हैव हर्ड द्विविडा प्रलंबासुर बेनुकासुर. हियर मदाई हैज हिट लॉर्ड नित्यानंद, बट लॉर्ड नित्यानंद डिलीवर्स हिम, गिव्स हिम लव ऑफ गॉडेड. And representative of Lord Nityananda, Srila Prabhupada. There is one lecture Srila Prabhupada gave here in this Chowpatty Beach, one of the initial days. First kirtan they had, and Prabhupada spoke about the Jagai Madai pastime. And Prabhupada said, so Nityananda Prabhu delivered Jagai and Madai, they were drunkards, they were sinful. And now, by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, we are delivering wholesale Jagais and Madais. Prabhupada was delivering wholesale Jagais and Madais. Actually, in one lecture, Rizolina Radhana Swami Maharaj says that when Nityananda Prabhu delivered Madai, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cried torrents of tears. Seeing the compassion of Nityananda, he told Advaita Acharya and everybody, look at Lord Nityananda, how much compassion he has. And Mahaprabhu was crying. But then Maharaj said, so you can imagine how much Mahaprabhu would be crying tears to see Prabhupada give pure love of Godhead to so many Jagais and Madais. So you can see Srila Prabhupada is a perfect representative of Lord Balaram, Lord Nityananda. And in all these pastimes, the essential mood of Lord Balaram is, I am a servant. And this is actually the only solution for all the problems. And therefore, while ending the class today, this is the third part of our class, which we'll just summarize now. And that is, what prayer should we offer? First topic we discussed today was position or identity of Lord Balaram. Then we discuss different pastimes. Now we come to the prayers. Srila Prabhupada has given us a very simple formula to pray to Lord Balaram. Many times devotees say, Prabhu, we cannot offer, you know, we are not so advanced devotees and we find it very artificial to offer prayers like Ashlishava, Padaratham, Pinastumam. What prayers practically do we offer? So Prabhupada said, very interesting. He said, you just go in front of Krishna Balaram deity and tell Lord Balaram, my dear Lord Balaram, this is my difficulty. And then you speak, my boss is harassing me or whatever. Speak everything. And then you say, so my dear Lord Balaram, so I have told you my difficulty. Now you please help me with this. This is actually Srila Prabhupada's formula. He gave this. And Burijan Prabhu and Jagatarini Mataji, they do this. They use this prayer technique for their disciples and other devotees who come to them. Like one girl came to Jagatarini Mataji and she had a lot of problems. So she told her this. Burijan Prabhu told her, you go in front of Balaramji. She was very depressed. She had come to Vrindavan. So what this girl would do, every day 12 o'clock aarti, she would be there in front of Krishna Balaram. And just like we have, you know, some of you are really depressed, we may have a session with psychiatrists. So long session. So she would have long sessions with Lord Balaram. Balaramji would have was her counselor. And then after some weeks when Burijan Prabhu met her, and Burijan Prabhu asked her, you know, what happened to your difficulties? And she very smilingly said, Lord Balaram is taking care of all of them. So we are very fortunate. Prabhupada has given us a very simple formula. Just come in front of Lord Balaram and offer our hearts. Actually, this is what we need, you know. We just need to offer our hearts to Krishna and offer a sincere prayer. And Balaramji is unique because Bala means spiritual strength. So, Balaramji, if you pray to Lord Balaram, Balaramji will give us the spiritual strength to say no, because we are facing so many temptations from Maya, always. So, how can we say no to these temptations of Maya? For that, we need strength. So, the Balaram, he gives us that strength to say no. And Balaram is also, Rama is there in his name. Means, Lord Balaram is the giver of pleasure. He enjoys. So, we can beg Lord Balaram to give us taste in Krishna conscious activities. So, basically in Anartha Nivritti and Artha Pravritti, for both, Lord Balaram is best. You know, for Anartha Nivritti, for removing all Anarthas from the heart, we can beg Lord Balaram. We can pray to him, O Lord Balaram, you have bala, you have strength, please, I am having difficulty with this anartha, I am unable to say no to this particular temptation of the material energy. Please give me the strength to say no. And my dear Lord Balaram, You are Balaram. You are always enjoying transcendental pleasure. So please give me taste. Give me pleasure in spiritual activities. Let me develop taste for chanting Hare Krishna. Let me develop taste for serving. Therefore, this is the way we pray to Lord Balaram. And Lord Balaram has this plow and club. We can pray to him that just like you killed so many demons in Vrindavan and Dwarka, please kill all the demons of anarthas in my heart. Transform them into virtues, into qualities by which I can offer service to you. And especially, our heart is compared to a field. And just like in the field you need a plow for the grains to grow, similarly, for bhakti to grow in our heart, Lord Balaram's plow, that is compared to Guru's instructions. So on this most auspicious day, we can also pray to Lord Balaram to give us faith in the instructions of the spiritual master. Actually, there's a nice point we have to meditate. Ultimately, all our prayers to Lord Balaram, Lord Krishna should be centered on this. That how I can give pleasure to you. Ultimately, the goal of all our activities is, we want to give pleasure to Krishna. We want to be the enjoyed. Once that is the center of our prayer, our life is blissful. And actually, when our only desire is that I don't want anything for myself, I just want to please you, my dear Lord. Once we have this consciousness, then we actually get much, much more than what we can imagine. We can't even imagine what we can get. Just like imagine you, somebody serves you and doesn't want anything else in return. You will be completely obliged to him. I'd just like to tell you, share this one incident that happened with me recently. We went to Mayapur. And in Mayapur, I was chanting at Prabhupada Samadhi. I was alone there. And there was nobody. The whole Samadhi was empty. And I was chanting. And one pujari came, old man, old pujari, offered arti. And then as I was chanting, he came to me and he said, Prabhu, prasad payenge? I said, wow, Prabhupada's mercy at Prabhupada Samadhi, somebody is offering prasad. I happily went. And I thought he'll give me some handful of prasad, you know. And he got a big plate with four sweets and bhatura and four sabzis and so many things. Fruit salad. So my skeptical mind started thinking, oh, he's asking me, called me. Maybe he wants something from me. All the calculations started. Maybe he'll ask me, I'm from Bombay. Maybe he wants to come to Bombay. So as he was serving me second, thirds, I was smiling, but you know, I was having my own calculations going on. I was thinking, what he wants. And he started asking me questions. Prabhu, where you are staying now? I was tempted to lie to him, you know. But then I said, nahi, abhi dham mein jhoot nahi bolna chahiye. So I said, I'm at Chakra building, room number this. And Prabhu, Bombay which temple, what service you do? So many personal questions. But all the while as he was serving me, I noticed one thing. He was blissfully chanting. Hare Krishna, Gauranga. So I was tossed between these two thoughts, you know. He's serving me or is he wanting something? Finally, he got second, third. He took my plate forcibly, threw it and then, you know, gave me. And he thanked me, embraced me and he tears in his eyes. And I was completely humbled. He didn't ask me for anything. I was so miserable after that. Then I ran. I found out where he stays. What is his name? Then I had some cookie packets left. I went to him, gave him. So then after that, whenever I went to Mayapur, like after that I went a couple of times, I would always make it a point to meet him. Now somebody so hard-hearted like me could be affected by somebody who served me not wanting anything in return, just to please me. I was purchased actually. In the sense, I was amazed by this person's mood. So you can think Krishna is the softest heart of all. He is the most soft-hearted person. So if we try like that, Krishna, I'll do this service. I will chant like this. I don't want anything. I just want to please you. If this is our prayer, we can imagine how much Krishna will be purchased. What will be the joy that Krishna will experience? So we are very, very fortunate that we are given this chance to celebrate these festivals and glorify Lord Balaram. So on this most auspicious occasion, let us offer this sincere prayer to Lord Balaram that we can make Krishna consciousness our number one priority in life. And come what may, never do anything or speak anything or act in any way that will bring a scar to the mission of Srila Prabhupada, then only do things which will bring glory to the mission of Srila Prabhupada. And We can also pray to be an instrument in the hands of our spiritual master and do our small bit to give this precious gift of Krishna consciousness to others. When we do this, we can please Lord Balaram, Lord Krishna, Shri Shri Radha Gopinath. And then our meaningless lives will also have some worth. So on this note, I would like to thank all of you for giving me an opportunity today. I would especially like to thank the temple authorities, senior devotees, for giving me a chance to glorify Lord Balaram despite all my disqualifications. Thank you so much. Shri Balaram ji ki jai. Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Bhagwan ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagwan ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande.